south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. There are a lot of pet lovers out there. And I'd say at least 25% of expat gonna-bees and wannabes have pets, and they ask me all the time about bringing them down. Which is not a cut-and-dried subject. There are a lot of horror stories out there of pets being stuck in quarantine, suffering with cold, heat, dehydration, and a cargo hold of a jet up at 30,000 feet. And funny enough, you even hear of old ladies and their lap dogs flying together, first class. I've seen that, actually. Once I sat next to a little old lady with Dolly Parton lacquered hair and her tiny chihuahua cage packed under her seat in first class. I guess first class has its privileges. I mean, you pay about 5 times as much for the seat. And the reason why I was first class, well, I got a mileage upgrade. By the way, that's what I'd do if I won the lottery. I'd start flying first class all the time. No Ferraris, Maseratis, helicopters, or glitzy beach houses for me. Though a Tesla would look awful nice in the driveway, wouldn't it? Anyway, for those of you thinking of bringing your dog, cat, or python down, you should visit this site called PetTravel.com before you do anything. I've never seen a more complete site when it comes to moving your pets around the world. You just click on the country where you're thinking of shipping your pet, then you download the proper veterinary and immigration forms right from that site, and you're off. So, as for my bit of advice in that area, I'd say be a little cautious if you have a very old pet, because pets being creatures of habit even more than we are, when they're old especially, they just don't adapt to their new environment or climate very well. In fact, I've seen animals exhibit a kind of a location or habitat shock. Young and adult animals get over it rather quickly, but older ones, not so much. Especially if you're moving them from a climate that's got 4 seasons, like, for example, Chicago or Cleveland, to one that's got just 2. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a long-haired pet suffer while his owner happily sips umbrella drinks in a hammock by the beach. Bottom line, don't bring your shepherds and huskies and long-haired dogs down if you're going to be hanging out at sea level by the beach. Short-haired dogs and cats, though, seem to do fine. Now, the good news is most expats who move down to Latin America have a nice big yard, often much larger than the one they had up in New York or Atlanta. So there'll be all those great new places and smells for your animal to explore. Oh, but do remember there are so many more and different kinds of wild creatures living down here. It gives a completely new meaning to the phrase, look what the cat dragged in. Speaking of what the cat dragged in, expat Eddie's got a cat that drags in all kinds of weird creatures. Iguanas, frogs, crabs, turtles, even those disgusting giant cucarachas. Gotta hate those things. They're kind of like the insect version of a Mack truck. The little ones, you know, you can step on and forget about, but those big ones, you don't want to step on them. They make a mess out of the floor and the bottom of your shoe. Now, I know you've got cucarachas up in the States. Every big city's got trillions of them. But I have to say, all those years I lived in a middle-class suburb of Chicago, I never once saw a single cucaracha in my parents' house. Never. Of course, my mother came from a family that were more or less European-German clean freaks. So if there were any cucarachas around, they had no feast and were probably quite anorexic. Now, my brother's got a friend who's a Chicago building inspector, and he says that for every person in Chicago, there are 10,000 cucarachas. That would mean there's a big vacancy at my mother's house. Oh boy, not to say cucarachas aren't everywhere down here too, but if you stick to just a few simple good habits, you might never see them lurking in your house at all. In fact, I see only about 2 or 3 cucarachas a year where I live. In fact, the last 2 I smushed came from a box I brought in from Costco. So your house might be free of them for a while, but eventually they'll get in, sometimes with your help. Now, you longtime listeners know I once gave you a recipe for what I call cucaballs. Those little 100% natural cucaracha exterminators that you can place around your home. All you have to do is make up a dozen or so and put them in strategic locations. So you make these things up into tiny little balls about half the size of the nail on your pinky finger. They're made of 50% flour, 50% borax, a pinch of brown sugar, and some water. You put it in a bowl, knead it to the consistency of cookie dough, make up a dozen or so little balls, position them in the cupboards and closets in your kitchen, And behind your refrigerator, make sure you place them where the wall meets the floor. Those are the usual pathways the cucarachas like to run. They're creatures of habit, too. You can also put them deep in the corners of your food pantries and cupboards. Now, I've used this method for years, and I change out those cucaracha balls for fresh ones about every 4 to 6 months. And note, they're not in the open at all. When you walk around the kitchen, you can't see them because they're nicely tucked in the hidden places where cucarachas like to dwell. And about that ingredient, borax, B-O-R-A-X. By the way, you won't find it in your average grocery store or Walmart. However, sometimes you will find it in a hardware store. It's a white powder that usually comes in a sealed tin can. And if you can't find it there, all you have to do is go down to a tool shop or a welding supply place because they use pure borax as a flux in certain welding operations. They'll usually sell you a cup or a scoop of it and put it in a plastic bag for you for just a couple bucks. You might remember borax from the 20 Mule Team Borax laundry detergent commercials back in the 60s and 70s. Borax was one of the active ingredients. It's non-toxic to humans, but you don't want to eat it. But I still use plastic gloves to knead it with the flour and the water and the pinch of brown sugar. So why am I mentioning this again? Well, I think it's about time. I went through this a couple of years back, and people who just don't know about this simple technique often bombard their houses and kitchens with all kinds of toxic chemicals and sprays. And you know, down here in Latin America, you can get a lot more of that stuff than you can up in the States because it's virtually unregulated. Yes, you can get Raid and Off and all the other toxic brands, as well as a lot of brands you've never heard before. All in Spanish, of course. Always much cheaper than those first world brands, too. I'd keep away from all that stuff unless I had a true infestation. But again, it's buyer beware. Now, get this. Local Latin homes, which are usually infested with cucarachas, with them, it's live and let live. They gave up on the cucaracha battle generations ago and basically just ignore them. And even if they wanted to fight back, the owners know nothing of the cucaball technique and they don't spray with insecticides either. If they did, they'd be at it all the time, it'd get way too expensive. Forget about the fact that insecticides are toxins, they know nothing of that either. It's all about lag time. Just like people poured on the DDT a few generations ago back in the States, that's the mentality of Latins here and now. So really, it's a good thing that insecticides down here are expensive, for Latins that is. It pretty much keeps the stuff out of their hands. Oh, and by the way, here's something you really have to look out for. People down here use the word cuca, C-U-C-A, as a short word for cucaracha. It's also used as a vulgar slang word for vagina. So do watch out how you use that phrase in mixed company. In other words, if you have any Latin female visitors and they inquire about those little balls in your kitchen cupboards, you're much better off saying they're for cucarachas than for cucas. Anyway, like I said, all families have learned to live with their own family of cucarachas. I can tell you by my own experience that every single Latin person I know and every single Latin home I've been in has, to our first world sensibilities anyway, a cucaracha problem, and overwhelmingly so in their kitchens. However, all Latins are quite used to them. They've grown up with them. That said, when they see one scampering across the floor or the countertop, they're in no way horrified or even get the heebie-jeebies. Most times, they just let them scamper on their way and don't even swat them. Now, I can tell you, most gringos and gringas I know, especially gringas, they instantly subtract a few points when they go into a person's house and see a few cucarachas just hanging around. And as for Latin families who basically live in a kind of symbiotic relationship with them, I've noticed that when they don't have company and cucarachas are making their presence known, it's no big deal at all and they're just ignored. However, if there's a party, company, or especially if there's a gringo coming to the house, when a cucaracha rears its ugly head, the attack forces mobilize. It's, oh, shit, that's disgusting, and the owner dives for the fly swatter, as if the presence of a cucaracha is somehow an unnatural and disgusting occurrence. So again, it's all about appearances, all about the show. Gotta make the gringo think you've got a happy, hygienic home. So call me stuck up, call me a food snob. Call me a dick, but I just don't like eating dinner over at a Latin person's house. That's why, when I'm there, the dog under the table always feasts like a king. And if you think food preparation in upper middle class or even wealthy Latin homes is any better or more hygienic than in middle or lower middle class, even poor Latin homes, you're mistaken. Because guess who's cooking the food? The maid or the cleaning lady, who's used to living side by side and nose to nose with thousands of cucarachas in her own tiny little laminated house with no screens and sometimes not even glass in the windows. And believe me, when Latin people hire maids, even upper middle class and wealthy Latins, the boss lady just gives the orders to clean the house, do the laundry, the food shopping, and the cooking. From what I've seen, there doesn't seem to be any kind of training or follow-up whatsoever. By the way, that's why most restaurant owners, like, for example, expat Eddie, who's had many restaurants, insist that people who apply for jobs obtain what they call a Certificado de Salud y Sanitación. That's a Certificate of Health and Sanitation. That's a one-day, 2 to 4 hour course in hygiene and cleanliness offered by most every Latin country's health department. However, there are ways to pay off people to get that certificate without even taking the course. Probably half the people do it that way. And Eddie, who actually attended one of those courses some years back to see what it was like, said it was basically useless and half-assed at best. But better than nothing. Now, as far as the maids and cleaning ladies that I've had over the years, I just won't let them do the cooking. I'd rather just do it myself. They have such bad and unhygienic habits, I just don't want to let them loose in the kitchen. I know, I sound like a jerk, right? But I'm not in any way a chef or an expert at cooking, and I don't feel like training them myself. In fact, I wouldn't know where to start. So then how'd I get that bad attitude? Well, I've been to many upper middle class and wealthy Latins' homes. I've popped in and out of kitchens, and I've watched maids and cleaning ladies cooking for their bosses' families. Let me tell you, in most cases, I'd say most all cases, they pretty much use the same unsanitary techniques that people use in those food stands and kiosks you see everywhere on the streets in Latin America. I won't go into detail here, but for all of you who've been down to Latin America and have walked through the busy streets where the kiosks and food carts abound, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. That said, I do know some expat gringas, not gringos, who have taken things into their own hands and have whipped their cleaning ladies and maids into shape so well that you really can trust everything and anything that they cook. But I'll tell you, it's the rare maid who cooks who actually disinfects the vegetables going into raw salads, which is why I won't eat raw salads at anyone's house, which is also why Montezuma and I have not crossed paths for a long, long time. But it's the rare gringa who goes through all that time and effort to whip them into shape. Now, I mentioned expat American gringas here, not gringos, because gringos, as a rule, don't really give a damn. They just want someone to prepare their food, and they don't care how it's done. They just want to eat. Well, as Shakespeare might have said, I ain't one of those. And you know, I still think it's a great idea for a gringo to put together some kind of a weekend 4 or 8 hour course where rich Latin ladies can send their maids and cleaning ladies to bring them up to gringo standards. Part 1, how to clean and manage a house first world style. Part 2, hygiene, cleanliness, and food preparation in the kitchen. You know, I've been bringing this up for a couple of years now, and I've yet to see someone do it. So is there a market for it? I'll tell you what, every gringo and gringa I know would send their maid and cleaning lady, that's for sure. And I believe the upper middle class and wealthy Latins would jump on board in a hurry too, for the bragging rights, if nothing else. And the cost to market a weekend course like that? Probably almost nothing. But I digress as usual. Man, did I digress. I was talking about pets, right? Anyway, here's a Latin vet story. Was at the vet the other day with a sick dog, and the vet said he needs an injection every day for a week. Now, we're not talking about vaccinations here. I don't believe in them. Not for man nor beast. And for those of you who are confused about that, just rent the movie Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. But regarding pets and vaccines, when you first get a pet, they're usually 2 months old or so and have had some vaccinations. You can't help that, but you don't have to continue with it. Now, if you think that's cruel, unusual, and mean, I have a report in my hand. It's called, Are You Vaccinating Your Dog Way Too Much? The answer, yes. Listen to this. It starts out by saying, it's recently been reported by the senior brand manager of Boehringer Ingelheim, one of the top pharmaceutical and vaccination companies for pets in the world. He says, quote, the majority of vets are over-vaccinating. In fact, he and other scientists are saying vaccines are causing many of the ailments certain dogs are afflicted with today. Again, it's all about the dough and what you and I don't know. Up in the first world, vaccines have become a very big cash flow item for vets. So anyway, I have this brand new PDF report, and if you want it, send me an email and I'll ship it off for free. I know this isn't a show about pets, but when you ship one down to Latin America or you pick up a pet down here, that is in our Living in Latin America universe now, isn't it? Anyway, this week I was with a sick dog in the vet's office. And as I sat there, watching the vet give the dog his first injection, I said, you mean I have to come back 6 more times so you can do this? And me, being a kind of a cost-conscious guy who asks a lot of questions, I asked her how much the injections and the visits were going to cost each time. And she said, oh, around $5. I said, what? $5? And I guess I said it wrong, or she took it wrong, thinking maybe I thought she was gouging me, but just the opposite. $5 for an office visit and an injection? Those are 1960s prices. Then she left the examination room for a second, came back with 5 ampules in her hand and 5 syringes. She said, if you don't want me to do it, you can do it yourself at home. Then she asked me, have you ever done injections before? If not, here's how you do it. Then she grabbed the dog by the neck and said, you just pull up the loose skin, jab it in here, and inject slowly. Then I said, wait a minute. You mean a lot of people inject their own pets down here? She said, when necessary, sure. Now that threw me a bit. When I lived in the States, I always had dogs, and I never knew anyone that shot up their own dog. Now, of course, if you were a human diabetic, I think you'd have no problem shooting up your dog. Maybe. At least you'd know how. In fact, I've got some immediate family members up in Chicago who are injectable diabetics. They're overweight, of course, and have a typically terrible American diet, but they eat what they eat and they're not going to change. You know the drill. Like most Americans, they know what they should do, but they just don't have the discipline. But again, that's another story. Anyway, so here's the question. We all know people up in the States with pets, but do you know of any who inject them? Well, I guess maybe some of you up there have pets with diabetes and that's necessary, but I don't know of any. Well, the point is, veterinarians down here in Latin America are comfortable with just handing over the ampule and the syringes and saying, go ahead, and they'll train you how to do it too. And you know, I actually did take the syringes and the ampules and stuff, and that's what I'm doing now, injecting the dog. And how do I know how to do that? And why do I seem comfortable with it, being that I'm not a diabetic nor a heroin addict? Well, it's that I did an advanced CPR and emergency medicine course way back when and learned how to do all that stuff. So it's no big thing to me. And when I mentioned to the vet, in Spanish, of course, that I don't think anyone up in the States would be comfortable shooting up their pets, she said, yes, I know. I have a friend up in the States who's also a veterinarian. Then she said, can you believe it? They have to carry malpractice insurance up there. And she said, up in the States, a vet could never send anyone home with an ampule and a syringe to shoot up their pet sometime later. That would violate the terms of the malpractice insurance. Nope, can't get away with that up in the States. Just another reason why the First World and Latin America are worlds apart in various things and all to the good down here. Oh, and let's get back to the fact that a vet down here will only charge you $5 if you have to come back and get an injection for your animal. Hell, you'd pay more than that for a short cab ride to the vet up in the States, wouldn't you? So what do vets charge up in the States? Look it up. The average visit, $45. The average booster shot or injection, $18 to $35. All in all, some very good reasons why you really have to get that plan B in motion. Okay, switching gears just a little bit. On the last few shows, I've been talking about shipping stuff down from the States to Latin America. And I spoke just briefly about shipping vitamins and supplements that you just might not be able to get down here in Latin America. I know many of you listeners take them, as do I. And I also mentioned in previous shows that they have GNC down here, and now the Vitamin Shop. You probably heard of that company. It's a franchise from the States. And both of those franchises do have many of the vitamins and supplements that you'll need or want, but not all. Now, the vitamins and supplements you might want to buy at those rip-off joints will be 2 to 6 times as expensive as you can get them by ordering direct from the supplier up north or from Amazon. So then who buys that junk from the Vitamin Shop or GNC? Well, it's not astute gringos, I'll tell you that. It's upscale Latins who do it for bragging rights and prestige. Expats are not that dumb. We order from Amazon or whatever and have them shipped down, not directly to Latin America. Remember, that's very expensive, but through one of those freight forwarding services that has a MyJammy office and mailing address. So what are the import taxes on that kind of stuff? Well, it depends. In some countries, medicines, vitamins, and supplements have no import tax, whereas in other Latin countries, it could be 10, 20, even 30%. Now, to avoid all that, you can select a freight forwarding service that's all-inclusive, a fixed price per pound where you pay no import taxes or aduana fees. And as for me, when it comes to vitamins, I'll have the stuff shipped down through a service that costs $6.50 a pound. That's the all-inclusive fee. So, for example, I can order 4 bottles of Coenzyme Q10, 120 capsules in each bottle, total weight coming in around 1 pound. That means my cost from the My Jammy Box to Latin America's $6.50 complete. And you know, in most cases, when dealing with a company like Amazon, if you order over a certain dollar amount, 50, 75, 100 bucks, depending, or if you belong to Amazon Prime, you get free shipping throughout the U.S. That means when you have it shipped from wherever to My Jammy, doesn't cost you anything. So your total cost for 4 bottles of Coenzyme Q10, about a year and a half supply, $6.50 for shipping direct to your Latin country. However, sometimes Amazon, Alibaba, eBay, and the others will pack some other junk in the box, promotions and pamphlets and samples and such, and it'll go over the advertised shipping weight. And you'll never know until your shipping company advises you by email what the actual weight and cost will be. So then, even in the case of the 4 bottles of Coenzyme Q10, if it comes in at 2 pounds because of the extra added unwanted junk, that's only an additional $6.50. Now, if you remember from my last 2 shows, I mentioned there's 2 ways to ship. You can use the one-shot deal at $6 to $8 a pound, which includes all import taxes and duties. Or you can have it shipped a much cheaper way for around $2.50 a pound and pay the taxes. Whatever they are, and that could be quite arbitrary. In my experience, even though I said that most Latin countries won't charge you taxes or IVA on vitamins and supplements, sometimes they'll do it anyway. So what you going to do if they charge you an extra 20, 30, even 40 bucks on an order? Who can you complain to? Well, no one, really. And I'm bringing this up because it's happened to me. In fact, just last year, I ordered, I think, around $250 worth of vitamins and supplements. Normally, they're exempt from taxes and duty, so I shipped the cheaper way at $2.50 a pound. And lo and behold, when I got the stuff, I only had to pay $5, 2 pounds, right? Along with an unexpected 20% import duty. That's $50 extra, even though vitamins and supplements are supposedly exempt. Well, sometimes they are because I've done it that way before. But this is Latin America, and unless you've got infinitely more time than money, if you try to fight it, it could take days or weeks going from office to office trying to find the right person, from slug to slug trying to get the right signatures. And if they ever admit their mistakes and you do get a refund check, try cashing it when Latin governments are perpetually broke. Of course, they are in the first world too, but the game goes on, at least for a while. So by all means, do the calculations between the 2 different kinds of services, but when in doubt, choose the higher price one. That would be, in this case, $6.50 a pound, all included. That way there won't be any surprises. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned the vitamin shop a couple of minutes ago. Yep, they're franchising down here now too. I've been in a few to check the prices, and they're outrageous. And like I said, astute gringo expats do not shop at GNC or the vitamin shop because they know how ridiculous those prices are. And they know the ins and outs of shipping in their Latin American country too. So it's upscale and wealthy, extreme gringo wannabes who shop there. It is a brilliant marketing strategy though. The vitamin shop and GNC always appear in high-end malls, nearly always within walking distance or right next door to an upscale gym or health club. So I guess it knew it had to come. GNC's been down here in Latin America probably 10 years now, and they had no competition. So now, the vitamin shop with 700 stores up in the States found the niche that GNC first discovered. A niche that consists of upscale Latin extreme gringo wannabes, willing to pay whatever to appear to be hip with the trip. For them, it's fashionable. It's the fad factor. They believe everything they see in ads on First World TV. Since for sure, if they knew how to do any kind of research or investigation on the internet, they'd find 75% of the junk they sell at the vitamin shop and GNC is overpriced garbage. And by the way, true to form, as I mentioned on a show a couple of weeks ago, U.S.-based franchises are losing market share and their profits are falling dramatically, which is why they're expanding to Latin America. In fact, just recently, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about the vitamin shop. The headline, Vitamin Shop Profits Fall 47% as expenses rise and the company saw lackluster revenue performance in the U.S. Meanwhile, they've just opened 3 brand new stores in, of all places, Guatemala City. Yep, lag time and the gringo advantage rides again. Oh, and how about this? This is true to form. I'm reading the article right now. It says, the vitamin shop also said it expects, on news of this unprecedented quarterly profit loss, to repurchase 3-4% of its outstanding shares during the following year as part of its previously announced buyback initiative. Okay, you all know about those buyback initiatives that have been going on for the past couple of years with all this zero interest rate stuff. It's a kind of a corporate last-ditch effort to prop up their own stock prices when sales are down and they see no positive news on the horizon. You knew that already, right? Enough said about that. Now, if you listen to my previous show, you know I mentioned there are other options and solutions and a plan for getting out of Dodge for listeners who just can't afford to get boots on the ground or come to one of my expat insider seminars here in Latin America. Sure, I do understand most of you just can't drop everything and come down. Not just yet, anyway, but all is not lost, not by a long shot. And though the clock is ticking, you've still got options. You can still move forward with your plan B from right where you are by just going to www.expatplanb.com. That's where you'll be able to check out what I call my new expat essentials. It's a 35-video course with almost 9 hours of content done by me, yours truly. That's www.expatplanb.com. And to get you started, I've got 3 free videos for you to see. Again, that's www.expatplanb.com. Check it out. You're going to like it. Now, speaking of my Expat Insider Seminar, you can still sign up. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and get in on those early bird discounts. We're 3/4 filled now, so there are some spots left. And don't forget, if you're coming down, we've got those special John Galt pre and post trips too. And talk about killing 2, 3, even 4 birds with one stone. A lot of people have not only signed up for the seminar, they've signed up for John Galt's pre and post trips too, as well as making arrangements to start their permanent or temporary residency process. And still others have asked for our medical tourism recommendations. So if you've got time, you can fit that into the trip too. So yes, when you come down, you can do all that and more. My seminar staff can help you arrange all of it. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link and click on the John Galt pre and post seminar trips too. All right, that said, I'd like to remind you all once again, if you get any emails coming from an old site I was once affiliated with, Expat Wisdom, although they're insinuating that the emails are coming from me, they're not, so don't fall for it. And finally, don't forget to have a look at my YouTube channel, YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. Don't forget to subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.